we left off last week, we were just began to discuss the dinim that appear in Shulchan Aruch in the context of Kriyashma, even though they're not really Kriyashma per se halachas, they're general halachas of what one is not permitted to do in the presence of something that's inappropriate. So we speak about inappropriate, we mean either something that smells inappropriate or something that looks inappropriate. So the dinim of what's called Ri'as Erva, Sugya appears in the end of the third parak of Maseches Brachos, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes most of these dinim in Hilchas Kriyashma. So we figured we would talk about it a little bit here. The Gemara tells us, based on the Pesukim and Chumash L'Yir B'Chavres Dovar, that there is an issim in a Torah to say Divrei Torah, Divrei Kedusha, Brachos, Kriyashma, etc., in the presence of Erva. What exactly is considered to be Erva? So the Gemara tells us that there are two different kinds of Erva. There is Erva Mamish, literally, actually three kinds of Erva. There's Erva Mamish, then there are certain areas which the Torah considers to be like Makomos of Erva, even though they're not literally, biologically Erva Mamish. And then there's a third category, things that the Torah doesn't consider to be Erva, but society considers to be Erva. If you live in a place where people generally dress in a certain manner, so then if a person says Kriyashma in front of those areas that it's exposed, that's also considered to be a problem. So the three different areas, so the first basic area is the Erva Osa Mokom, literally, both in a man and in a woman. Then you have places that are supposed to be covered by Mechusos, who are parts of a woman's body that's supposed to be covered by the Halacha. And then the third is areas that aren't Mechut, covered by the Halacha, but areas that are generally covered in that area, which also take on the dinim of Erva for these purposes. There is a fundamental question in the Rishonim and the many Nafkaminas Ladina as to what the nature of these halachas are all about, what the relationship between these halachas are all about. So the first halacha, that one is not permitted to say Kriyashma min HaTorah, if a woman's erva is exposed, or if a man's erva is exposed, whether it's the person himself, whether it's somebody else, that's for sure, that's not a question. That's a din deraisa, no shail about that, what the nature of that is. The question is, what about the second category of halacha, that which the Gemara says, certain areas of a woman that the halacha requires to be covered, but are not biologically erva mamish, what's the nature of those halachas? Let's say, for example, if a woman's leg is uncovered, part of a woman's leg is uncovered, which is also what that means, part of a woman's leg is uncovered, that's considered to be included in these halachas. Or, if you have a married woman's hair is uncovered, it's considered to be part of these halachas. A kol b'isha erva, a woman is singing, it's considered to be like ke'ilu amokal erva is uncovered. What's the nature of these halachas? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is also called erva, means the definition of la yir b'cha erva's dovar is more inclusive than we thought it meant. Not only does it refer to Osa Mokom Mamish, but it refers to any area that the halacha declares to be an erva. It's called an erva. So based on psukim, based on drashas, based on whatever traditions we have, the shok, the upper leg, is considered to be an erva, according to some, or lower leg, depending on how you define shok. The hair is considered to be an erva, this is considered to be an erva, maybe the upper arm is an erva, whatever your definition, whatever the Torah's definition of areas that have to be covered, basically any area that the halacha requires to be covered automatically is labeled as a mokom erva, and the possible yirbuch erva's davar would apply to that. Or maybe one can argue that there are really two different halachas taking place here. There's one din that you're not allowed to say, kriyashma, tefillah, etc., in mokom erva. That's an objective halacha, nothing to negotiate. There's no rhyme or reason for that, but we can figure out a reason, the zeichel. But in terms of, that's a certain sense of Xeris HaKosov, that a saying of a Devarim Shem Kedusha in the presence of an erva is a problem. The second halacha is a different kind of halacha. The reason why the halacha prohibits to say Kriyashma, the Davin, the Bracha is learning when a woman is not dressed appropriately, is not because it's called the Mokom Erva. Erva means one place of the body is called the Mokom Erva. Nothing else is called the Mokom Erva. But the Gemara means, Shud B'isha Erva, Say B'isha Erva, Kol B'isha Erva. What that means is that the same way that Erva, a woman's mamish undressed, so there's going to be a mokom hiror. That's going to distract the person. That's going to be inappropriate to say kriyashma in a place where it's a mokom hiror. So any other place that could potentially conjure up images of those things, that's also called a mokom hiror. And that's the reason why you're not allowed to do it. It's not because it's erva mamish. Very often you have this in the Gemara. The Gemara will make a statement, x equals y. So the question is, what does x equal y mean? Does x equal y mean x is mamish y? Every halacha to x carries over to y, and every halacha of y carries over to x, mamish, hainu hach. But does the Gemara mean x equals y means? I mean, certain characteristics of x spill over to y. Doesn't mean they're literally the same. We've seen this many, many times in halacha. The Gemara will make these sweeping statements. X is the same as y. It means it's mamish the same as y. Or it means vis-a-vis this area of halacha that we're discussing, x carries over to y. like the Gemara says, "Kala kois kilu obed avodah zarah." It means yamamish obed avodah zarah. Person gets angry, is chayav misa. Person gets angry, so then if they touch the wine, the wine is shrek. So obviously, it doesn't mean that. It means that there are certain characteristics of an obed avodah zarah that carry over to a kois. Well, we've seen this in the world of halacha. I mean, look, you're a dayah, so we spent a lot of time with this. Kavush kimavushal. The Gemara says if you soak two foods together, it's as though they were cooked together. The mamish cooked together. If you soak a food on Shabbos, you chayav a skila for chil Shabbos. That's what it means. Kavush is kimavushal mamish. But does it mean that just as Hilchos Bishul has certain characteristics that play out in terms of kashrus, so soaking cold foods also has some of those characteristics? Kahena v'kahena, when the Gemara says these sweeping statements that such and such is equal to such and such, the question is how literal is that statement supposed to mean? So this is a major machlekes in the Rishonim in terms of the sugya of Kriyashma. When the Gemara says that Sheik Bisha Erva, that means it's mamish like a mocham erva. Saying Kriyashma in front of a shok, an uncovered leg, is mamish like saying Kriyashma in front of the osam. But do we say no? Shok b'sheva means that just as erva conjures up images of hero, so too the shokar has images of hero, and therefore, just as you're not allowed to say kriyishma in front of an erva, you can't say kriyishma in front of the shok as well. At the end of the day, you're not allowed. So at the end of the day, who cares whether it's a lump is like this, lump is like that? Lamai said so. So the chora. So you'd have a few nafkaminas ladina. So one of the nafkaminas would be as follows. Let's say you have a woman who's mamish not dressed, completely not dressed, and another woman wants to say kriyishma in her presence. Another woman wants to say advatar, wants to say a bracha, wants to daven or something in front of the other woman who's not dressed. So the din is that whenever there's a mokum erva that's pagula, it doesn't matter whether you are from the same gender as that person. It doesn't matter. The Torah says, well, you're b'chayv v'sdavar. You're not allowed to say kriyishma. You're not allowed to say tefillah. You're not allowed to daven. You're not allowed to say dvam shabukadusha. And there's an erva that's pagula. It doesn't matter whether it's a man to a woman, woman to a man. That's the din deraisa, b'chayv v'sdavar. What's the din if a woman wants to say tefillah, wants to say dvatorah in front of another woman who's dressed in the sense of her erva is covered, but her hair is uncovered, her arms are uncovered, her legs are uncovered, she's half-dressed. So what's the din? Would we say that the din of not saying kriyishma in front of shok b'isha erva, in front of seh b'isha erva, in front of other parts of the body that are erva, would that apply from one woman to another woman? So the Ramah quotes that as a machlekes of Rishonim. He quotes a Rashba in a Rush, he claims it's a machlekes of Rishonim without that. What's the nekudas of machlekes? If such a machlekes exists, what's the nekudas of machlekes? So l'chora, the nekudas of machlekes revolves around this question. If you hold that this is a din erva, the Torah objectively declares that shok, the woman's leg, or the arms, or hair, whatever it is, has the status of erva. So just as when it comes to erva mamish, a one woman, Rachel, can't say kriyishma in front of Leah's makam erva, so Rachel can't say kriyishma when Leah's legs are uncovered. If you hold that it's objective erva, then it's mamish the same thing. But if you hold that it's based on a second halacha, it's called hiror, so obviously hiror is not going to apply here. Hiror applies a man to a woman, it's not going to apply from one woman to another woman, so therefore it would be permissible. So this would be a big nafkamin ladina. You have a bunch of girls who are sitting around, and none of them are dressed appropriately, but there are no men around. And now the question is, they want to learn, they want to say brachas, they want to say kriyishma. Is that a problem? So the Ramah quotes two opinions, and one day in the Ramah says that's a problem, and the other day in the Ramah says that's okay, because since it's based on hiror, but there's no hiror, then it would be permissible. So that should be one important nafkamin ladina. You have another important nafkamin ladina. Is the Beis Yosef has a chiddush gadol. Beis Yosef writes that he thinks, let's say you have a man or a woman who's totally undressed. Mamish Shemokom Erva is a Megula, and I want to say Shema, I want to say Yadvata, I want to stop, I want to do something. The person's completely undressed, what do I do? So the Beis Yosef writes, no big deal, so just don't look. Beis Yosef, look down, close your eyes, just turn your head a little bit. As long as you're not looking at the Mokom Erva, so that would be okay. Why is that? Because Beriyat Tol Rachamana. The Torah says, well, Yerbacha Erva's Dover, and you're not allowed to see the Erva. So you're not allowed to see the Erva, so that would be okay, as long as you're not looking at the Erva. So all the Acharonim quote this Beis Yosef and disagree with the Beis Yosef. All the later Acharonim say it's not true. Why? Because Lo Yerbacha Erva's Dover means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't see Erva. Not literally in the sense of, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu's name shouldn't be mentioned when the Erva is around. And even if you personally happen to close your eyes, you personally put your head down, you turn your head a little bit the other way, that doesn't solve the problem. That's not the solution to the problem. So that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. I shouldn't say in Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes himself. He quotes the Beis Yosef, but then all the later Rechmanim disagree with the Beis Yosef, disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. And they say that one shouldn't rely on this Kula. So the Bir HaLocha, the Mishnah Berura, quotes the Machlekes HaPoskim about we who assume not to rely on this Kula for Erva Mamish, what would we say about other kinds of things, namely Shok B'Isha Erva? What if you find yourself sitting, this is a very, very common child, person finds themselves sitting on the train and people not dressed appropriately. What's the din? A person finds themselves at a simcha, find themselves at their own Shabbos table, people are not dressed appropriately, what's the din? Are they permitted to say different Torah? Are they permitted to say Kiddush? Put it to bench, if someone's not dressed appropriately. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and quotes a lot of Acharonim who say that you can close your eyes, you can just look down. You don't have to make a whole tadarav fuss about it, but as long as you're not looking, it would be okay. Why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Acharonim, who basically the Lumbus would say as follows. Even though when it comes to Erva Mamish, we don't accept the Beis Yosef Chiddush, that just closing your eyes works, but we do accept the idea vis-a-vis these lower levels of quote-unquote Erva, because they're not really Erva. Since we can be made ill, like those Rishonim who say that the nature of these halachas is based on Hiror, so whenever Hiror doesn't apply, the Din doesn't apply. So Hiror's not going to, your eyes are closed, you're not going to be marrying anything, so it's Kamanza Leisa. So this Shtikl Torah, this kunz of closing your eyes, putting your head down, won't work for Erva Mamish, but according to many Acharonim, it will work for these kinds of things. And the Mir Halacha quotes other Acharonim will say no. Quotes other Acharonim will say that it doesn't work. No, what do those Acharonim hold? Some of those Acharonim held that it's based on Erva Mamish. So once it's labeled as Erva Mamish, no tricks are going to help. If you don't accept the Beis Yosef trick when it comes to Erva Mamish, you're not going to accept it for this either. So we have a couple of important potential nafkaminas ladina. And then you have presumably another Rishayla that the Mir Halacha also raises. As to at what age do we say that these didn't kick in, particularly for a girl? What would the halacha be for erva for a girl? So the Rishonim had a machlekes about what's the din if you have a mamish baby. Let's say either a baby boy or a baby girl that's undressed. Can you say brachas in their presence? So there are some Rishonim who say no. And from the day the baby's born, it's called the mohum erva and finished. And other Rishonim say no, that's not true. And once until the baby, if it's a girl 3 years old or a boy till 9 years old, that's not considered to be a mohum erva. Why is it not called the mohum erva? So there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai that tells us that 3 years old for a girl and 9 years old for a boy, any act of bia that took place before that is kamanda leisa. It doesn't have any meaning in halacha. That after the age of 3, then you have a problem. After the age of 9, then you have a problem. And there are nafkaminas levina, midaraisa nafkaminas that emanate from that. We spoke a little bit about yesterday. We spoke about the Isha's psula kahuna. So you have a woman after the age of 3 who was nivla l'posula. If she had relations with someone who she wasn't permitted to be with, so she becomes psula kahuna min haTorah. What if she had, and so you shouldn't make light of these shilas, believe it or not, these cuckoo shilas happen. What if you have, sometimes, I don't know if you should talk about it publicly, but once in a while, you get these crazy shilas, kids, little kids, I'm not sure what they're doing exactly, but they get in, sometimes get involved in these kinds of bizarre activities, sometimes tragically, even within family members, young kids, who don't know, not exactly sure what it's all about. And sometimes you end up with a serious shiloh, a woman becoming psula kahuna, because you can have a brother and a sister who didn't realize that they were mamash mazana together, and now the woman realizes, she was a little girl, and now she finds this out years later, that nivla l'posel of psula, she becomes psula kahuna. So one time I involved one of these crazy shilohs, and the question is how old the kids are. So the boys below the age of 9, you can breathe a sigh of relief. The boys above the age of 9, that could become a very, 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 very serious potential shiloh. So that's halacha Moshe Besidai. That if you have a nice abiyah that took place below the age of 9, for a boy, that's a garnish. A nice abiyah that took place below the age of 3 for a girl, that's also a garnish. So some of the Rishonim say that just as it's not called a nice abiyah, it's not called a mokam erva either. That aver of a man, a little boy under 3 is garnish. That also mokam in a woman under the age of 9, that's a garnish. And therefore you could say kriyishma even though the area is exposed. And other Rishonim disagree. Rishonim say no, that and Maisa B, it's not called. That's a Lacham Moshe Sinai. So called the Mokam Erva, and these dinim would apply. This shana comes up by a bris. That's the first we talk about. That when the Moel makes the bracha, should the bris be, should they cover over the baby, throw a diaper onto the baby, or not? So what did the Moel do? What's the meaning? They do cover it up. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I had a bris yesterday. I wasn't standing, so I had the bracha. So I had the mechavim to make the brachas by the bris yesterday. So that it's the only kibbutz I don't like to do at a Shabbos bris because I hadn't made kiddush yet. So I had to drink the whole cup of wine and then I had to go find some cookies. I had to go scrounge around finding some cookies. Remember, I went outside to go find cookies and everything was covered over and then. you know, the kids were all standing there like ready to attack the cookies, and I didn't want to be the one to open up all the cookies and remachshel the rabbim. So I ran downstairs. I had to steal some cookies from the kitchen, but they brought them yesterday, so I can get my kiddush makom suda. It's very embarrassing. Everyone's, you know, walking out wishing masa, and I'm sitting there and eating cookies by the Ur Kodesh, and it's a big sign that says I just made a bracha. I have to anyway, whatever it is. Okay, so getting back to the stories, I don't remember what the minute is, whether it comes to baby or not. But even if you hold the kula on the shaila that a baby until the age of 3 or a girl until the age of 9, we don't have to worry about it. But once the girl is 3, then for sure it's a problem. That's not even a shaila. If the girl's mamish undressed, then for sure you can't say brachas, can't say kriyas in front of her. What if she's not mamish undressed? What if she's not dressed appropriately? What if she's wearing shorts, or she's sleeveless, or she's walking around, not necessarily halakhically covered up, but biologically, Hamokam Erev itself is covered. She's a 3-year-old girl. What would the din be? So the Mishnah Berura quotes that would be a problem. Mishnah Berura writes that he thinks that would be a problem of Re'yasa Erva. Once she's 3 years old, that's it, finished. So even though it's not Erva Mamish, but the places that the Gemara says, Shokvish Erva, or whatever, Seyabish Shpanach, be married at that age, today's world, but whatever it is, even though she's only 3 years old, so the halachas of Arayas, the halachas of Mokam Erva would still kick in, even though it's not Erva Mamish. And the Chazanish suggests that one can disagree with this Mishnah Berura. The Chazanish suggests that if you would hold that it's based on Erva Mamish, it's objective Erva, so then objective Erva 3 years old, Taka Mishnah Berura is right. But if you hold that the second halacha of Shokvish Erva is based more on Hirur, so then the girl's 3 years old, and we hope and pray that a normal person's not going to have a Hirur from that. So the Chazanish says, so she's 3, she's 4, she's 5, 6, until you reach the age where she becomes a little bit more subject to men having Hirur from her, so then it would be permissible to say Kriyishma in her presence, to say Brachas, to learn, to say etc. things in her presence. So this Machlekes Mishavur in the Chazanish is really just a restating of the same Shaila. What's the nature of these dinim of Shokvisha Erva? Shokvisha Erva, a function of Erva Mamish, therefore the Shir Halach Moshtini of 3 years old kicks in. What do you say? No, that the din of Shokvisha Erva is more of a hero oriented halacha, then it depends on the time and place, just at what age, 6, 7, 8, whatever the appropriate age of hero would begin to kick in. The Lady Belskim write that the Chorid is another important nafkamina between the Mishnah Berura and the Chazanish in terms of chinuch, in terms of chinuch of our girls. Namely, at what age should we insist that the girls dress appropriately? So the standards of halach and shulchan aruch as to what parts of a woman's body have to be covered. Say, for example, the shok, so that's a din. The shok bisha erva is not only a din vis-a-vis kriyashma, it means that you have to cover it. A woman's not allowed to walk around with an erva exposed. Whether you hold this area, whether you call it its real erva, whether it's here, whatever it is, l'maisa the halacha dictates that she has to cover it over. When the Gemara speaks about zrosel megulim, about a woman's arms are uncovered, or say Abisha erva, all these, say married woman erva, etc., all these dinim, at what age do these halachas kick in for a little girl? So this was l'chor dependent on the machlokes Mishnah Berura and the Chazanish. If you hold like the Mishnah Berura, like the first group of Rishonim, that these are considered to be makamos of erva mamish, that shokvish erva means it literally. So then the 3-year-old girl, the same way that we wouldn't permit her to walk around totally undressed, we wouldn't permit her to walk around with her legs exposed either, or her arms exposed, or whatever other areas of halacha are considered to be these quasi-mekamos erva. Whereas if you hold like the second group of poskim, that this is not really erva, it just means it's subject to hirur. So then one can argue, like the Chazanish said, that it's only subject to hirur when it becomes a subject of hirur. The 3-year-old girl just turned past her 3rd birthday last week, so she has not mechuyev to start covering her legs, so she could still walk around in her shorts until she gets to the age when it's when people may potentially be led to hear her from her. So this is important halacha. This is a big enough community in terms of the standards of tzniyos for little girls, depending on how you understand the nature of this din. Just how much are these two halachas related to each other? How much do we say that this din of shokvish erev, etc., is a mokum erev mamish? How much do we say that this is a mokum hear her? Assuming that one would have to cover these parts of the body, or let's say for older girls or for women, of course, who have to cover these parts of the body, what exactly are these parts of the body? Why do we keep on throwing around the same term? Shok Bisha Erva, that's the one that the Gemara, one of the ones that the Gemara singles out. What exactly does Shok mean? Which part of the body are we referring to? So this was also a big machlokes, the Mishnah Berura and the Chazanish. But here the Mishnah Berura ended up to be making the Chazanish was machmer. People take the kulas of everybody. Halavai, take the kulas. Let's leave it at that. So how exactly do you define what part of the body biologically? Physiologically, what part of the body is called the shok? So the Mishnah Berura writes in Hilchas Kriyashma that he thinks that the shok is the upper part of the leg, starting from the knee up. that's considered to be the shok. Anything below the knee is considered to be the regel, and there's no din that a woman's regel has to be covered. That you have to cover the shok. So the shok means from the knee and above, the thigh, the upper part of the leg, that's considered to be the shok. And the Chazon Ish has rayas from Mishnayos in Maseches Olos, when the Mishnah delineates all the different parts and organs and limbs of the body, but the Chazon Ish shows you that he thinks that the word shok doesn't mean the upper part of the leg, it means the lower part of the leg. It means what we call the calf. It means from the ankle to the knee, that's called the shok. Anything above that, that's really the yerech, that's really the thigh, that's a different part of the body. Shok b'sha'erva means the calf until the ankle, that's considered to be the halachic shok. That's a pretty big nafkamina ladina. It's a nafkamina where the woman has to cover that part of the body. According to the Mishnah Berurah, so technically, as long as from her knee and above is covered, so technically you could say Kriya Shma in front of her, you could say brachas, she's not violating any surim, because she, basically the halachas that have to be covered are already covered. Those parts are covered from the knee and above. That's the psach of the Mishnah Berurah. Whereas the Chazon Ish disagrees and says that's not true. Says the Chazon Ish, that's not enough. She has to cover the lower part of the leg as well. That's enough. Nafkamina ladina, where the woman mamash has mechuyev to wear stockings or socks, so that she's allowed to walk around with that part of the leg uncovered or not. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, mikra din, that would be mutar. According to the Chazon Ish, that would be a problem as well. If a person lives in a place where the minig is lechumra, then for sure you have to be machmer. Because that's what we said before by Kriya Shma, that if the minig amokom is to cover even parts of the body that don't have to be technically covered, so a person is required to follow the chumrei haminig amokom, like any other minig hamakom that was instituted by makom mitzvah. So there are different opinions in the Gedalia Pesach, Mishnah Berurah to the Chazon Ish, how we should be noyig in terms of insisting about the lower part of the leg to be covered. But the upper part of the leg, from the knee, including the knee and up, that was never even a discussion. That was for sure us, and that's Mikra did. So one should just try to be careful about this, that one's knees and above are never permitted to be exposed, no matter what, whether standing, sitting, whatever position, that's for sure also. That's the favorite connected to halacha. Those who want to be making like the Mishnah Berurah, I can't say it's wrong. I'm not advocating being making like the Mishnah Berurah, I'm just saying I can't say it's wrong. But to those who are mezalzel and makel, can't use the word makel, those who are mezalzel and even above the knee is sometimes exposed, that's mamash like it, that's also l'chol hadeyas. Anyway, getting back to this story, so in terms of the little girls, so when it comes to the little girls, now we have Shaila, the 3-year-old girl, she wants to know, the summer's coming, she used to wear shorts. So according to, here the sheet is a flip. Here, according to the Mishnah Berurah, she can't wear shorts. According to the Chazon Ish, she can wear shorts. Because the Chazon Ish says that she's still 3 years old, 3, 4, 5, little girl, not a Machom Hero yet, then it would be permissible. So there are different opinions about this in the Gedalia Poskim. So we have a lot of shilas here, some very, very important shilas ladina that are playing out now in terms of what's that take on these makomas of a shok and etc. Do we say that they're erva bamish, or do we say that they're just mokom hiro, chaps nafkaminas from one woman to another woman? Nafkaminas, can you close your eyes? Can you look down? Nafkaminas in terms of how old this halacha begins to kick in. We have a lot of nafkaminas ladina. How should we paskin ladina on all of these shilas? So even though the Ramah presents it as a machlekes rishonim, another poskim seemed to present it as a viable shita, the shita machmirim. It's very, very hard to understand the shita machmirim, because the pashtus in the Mishnah against that. That's the Mishnah that somebody asked me at the end of the Shia last week. The Mishnah says chala. The Mishnah says chala says that if a woman wants to be mafresh chala, and she happens not to be dressed. So when you mafresh chala, you have to make a bracha. So normally the din is that orim lo yitrum. The Mishnah says in Trumas that if a person's not dressed, they shouldn't separate Trumas and Maisers. Why? Because when you separate Trumas and Maisers, you have to make a bracha. If you're undressed, you can't make a bracha. So if you can't make a bracha, you're going to lose out the bracha. So the Mishnah says the same story. A woman, when she's undressed, shouldn't be mafresh chala. What should she do? So the Mishnah says she should sit down. Ishi yosheves aruma v'kotzla chalosa v'varech. That she should sit down, and when she's sitting mamish on the floor, sitting on the floor mamish, so her erva is covered, the way the woman's body is, that the erva is below, so it's mamish covered over, by the way, you can't see it, somebody's looking at it, can't see it. So the Mishnah says, as long as the erva is covered, it doesn't matter whether it's covered with clothes, covered with the ground, as long as the erva is covered, so then she's permitted to recite the bracha. The Mishnah's talking about she's not dressed anything else. So her legs are exposed, her arms are exposed, her hairs, everything's exposed. And the Mishnah says it's still okay, as long as the erev mamash is covered over. So what do you see from this Mishnah? Why is that true? So l'chora, the answer is that you see that it's only the mokum erev mamash that has to be covered at all costs. Everything else only has to be covered if and when there's hiror. There's no hira on yourself. The same way that the Rishonim said there's no hira from one woman to another woman, for the Kuli Amud, there's no hira on the woman herself. So you see the Beferish, the Mishnah says it's okay. The Mishnah is Beferish that a woman could, she could daven, she's wearing shorts. Again, there are other reasons why she should be wearing shorts when you're davening. But a woman could be davening with short sleeves on, a woman could be davening married, but with her hair uncovered. Whether that's a good idea, a bad idea, that's it, it's not. Good idea, it's not. Whether it's a bad idea, that's a different question. But in terms of the Ikra Din, you can't say it's also, it's a Farish and Mishnah. Yisha Arumah Yisheves Katzlach Alasa Tavarech. So how could some folks can say that the nature of the Din of Shok and Zeroa and the hair and everything, how can anybody say that these are objective Mekomis Erva? How can anybody say this is Mamash Erva? If it's Mamash Erva, so how does sitting on the floor and covering up that small part of the body solve the world's problems? So I still don't understand this. I'm not sure, how could anybody say Fakir? It sounds like it's Mamash a black and white Mishnah. I think that's the Ikra Din. That's the way we note La Halacha. Even Mishnah Berurah himself quotes Machlekes Rishonim. Can a person just close their eyes when the woman's parts of her bodies are uncovered if it's not Erva Mamish? And even though the Mishnah Berurah says they're Machmirim, but he also says B'Shas Achak, you can be Mekel. It's always a Shas Achak. By definition, if you're sitting on the train, you want to say the Vritah, you want to make a bracha, you're sitting at the table and somebody's not dressed, it's always a Shas Achak. I think that the Ikra Din we have a right to be making on the Shaila, which basically would translate for us to mean that these halachas of anything short of Erva Mamish is only considered to be an issue of Hirur, and therefore when the Hirur doesn't apply, then the Din doesn't apply. So closing one's eyes, Mikra Din should probably work. From one woman to another, Mikra Din should probably work. And the corollary of that would be the Chazanisha Skula, that if the girl is just barely 3 years old, it should also work. So if you have each one of these Shailas that depend on this question, the Chara should all be Lakula. Mishnah Berurah quotes a Chai Adam who has a kula in this. The Chai Adam writes that even if you hold like the machmirim, the closing your eyes doesn't help. So the Chai Adam says, but the medrash amurim, closing your eyes doesn't help. That's for the more serious areas, namely for shok, things of that nature. But he says, I shouldn't categorize it more serious, less serious. But the Chai Adam writes, and Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha. Let's say you have a married woman. So Shulchan Aruch it says, if the married woman's hair is not covered, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema in her presence. So the Chai Adam writes, if you close your eyes, that's going to work. Means even though that may or may not work for other areas, but in terms of a woman covering their hair, so that's going to work. So Mishnah Berurah is willing to concede to that. The others would disagree even on that. The others would say the hair may be more covered than the shok. If you're willing, it's a whole shtickotar about that. But if you look in the regular, in the Chayyad, the Mishnah Berurah, so he's making on that. When it comes to, this is the most common shah that we have a married woman sitting at the Shabbos table, her hair is not covered, so what do? So either you rely on the Mishnah Berurah, you just close your eyes and shine, or the Aruch HaShulchan has this famous kula that has been quoted and misquoted and abused and taken out of context. The Aruch HaShulchan, in Hilchos Kriya Shema, has the following chiddush. If you take a look at it yourselves, if you have any question whether I'm presenting it correctly or not, you can please feel free to look at it. You can see that now, if I'm not mistaken, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he thinks that Bizman HaZeh, you're permitted to say Kriya Shema in front of a woman who married woman whose hair is uncovered. Why is that? So the Aruch HaShulchan says the same basic pizman that we've been saying up to now. He says this din that you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Brach, Torah, whatever, in front of these parts of the body is not Erva Mamish. It's Tinok Erva. It means it brings about Hirur. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, in the olden days when all the women covered their hair, and you have all of a sudden one woman walking around with the hair uncovered, so the person's going to get excited. He's going to focus. He's going to look at her hair. So that's called a Mocham Hero, and therefore it's a problem. Man is there, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that a lot of women are uncovering their hair. So he says, it's not a Mocham Hero anymore. It's not a Mocham Hero, and therefore it's okay. Therefore you could say Kriya Shema in front of a married woman whose hair is uncovered. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. So there are some who said, oh, what did the Aruch HaShulchan just say? That when all the women uncover the hair, then it's mutter to uncover your hair. That's what he said, right? So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, not only does he not say that, he goes into the whole tirade, and he says, such a terrible thing that the women's hair aren't covered, and that it's a princess, and it's a this, it's a that, it's a that, na 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 na. He doesn't say sound anywhere in there that he's saying that it's okay. Not only is that, he says, but favorite's not okay. You know, it's a Khalil of Khalil to say such a thing. The Chashulchan would have said such a ridiculous thing. The Chashulchan is saying a Chiddush in the dinim of Kriya Shema. He's saying that vis-a-vis this din that you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema Tefillah when a woman's hair is uncovered, that din may not apply to Bizman HaZeh. That's the Chiddush of the Chashulchan, because it's not such a big Chiddush. It's part of the same story we've been saying all along. It's part of the same hero story. So Bizman HaZeh, he's assessing that it's basically there's no hero present. So that's his chiddush. Whether you accept it or chiddush, don't accept it, that's a different story. So you have two possible tzedadim to be makel, which in the shaylas come up. When a person finds themselves in a situation where the woman's hair is uncovered, so according to Rosh Hashanah, they could just say Krishma Kedarach, just continue and not to worry about. And those who don't want to rely on the Rosh Hashanah, so they would follow the Mishabur and the Chayadam, that they would close their eyes or look down or not make such a do about it. Those who don't want to rely on either of them would have to do what the other Rachmanim, right? You have to mamash turn around. Turn your body around. That's a whole different story. But usually, most people don't do that. Although I have to be true. I was at a shiur once by Rav Avadji. I don't know if you were around. Gave it in YU. So Rav Avadji came to YU, I think, on two different occasions. He came many years ago. He came on three occasions. One was before my time there. I think there was the famous picture of him with the Rav. The picture of him with the Rav at YU. That was already a long time ago. But he came to YU in one of my early years in YU. And we spoke in the Kollel. Spoke about Malach Shatzich Lagufa, and I don't remember anything that he said, but all I remember is that all of a sudden, like in the middle, he got into one of his, his runs that he gets sent to, and he quoted every single place and every where Malach Shatzich Lagufa was quoted, and any Rishon Achron that you've ever heard of or didn't hear of, and he didn't even mean it when he did it. It's just the way he spoke, and all of a sudden there were like 50 guys there. And he's quoting you every Yaskel Avdi and every Rav Olam that ever quoted Lakshan Tzukhuf since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was one thing. And then he came back to YU several years later. He came back for a couple of days. So it was fascinating. He didn't stay in the dorm. They put him up in some hotel somewhere. Not in the Heights. Put him up in a hotel in the city. But he came every morning. He davened in the Sfarad Minyan. And then he said Shiur. He sat in the Beis Medrash. And people were able to ask him questions. And then he said to Sheikh Lowlands a couple of times. He sat about 3-4 days. So he sat in the Beis Medrash. It was a fascinating experience. Anyway, so one of the Shiurim that he gave, he was speaking in the Old Beis Medrash. He was saying a Shiur. Standing up in the front saying a Shiur. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the Shiur, he stopped, he turns, and continues speaking in the other direction. So most people, I don't think, knew what was going on. I saw exactly what happened. It was in the front row, there were a few women who came, who had sponsored the Sfaradi family, who had sponsored the whole thing. And one of the women's hair wasn't exactly covered kedin. So apparently when he started to say the shiur, he didn't realize it. All of a sudden, in the middle of the shiur, he realized that she wasn't dressed appropriately. So I don't know what he was holding. He didn't turn around, literally. He didn't turn around like they say. He didn't turn around like I don't know. I don't know exactly what he held. But he definitely made a shift in the middle of the shiur, and that was obviously the reason why. No. Anyway. In this din of not saying Kriyishma, Tefillah, Brachas, etc., in the presence of Erva, so Shulchan Aruch quotes the din of Kalisha as well. The din of Kalisha quoted two places in Shulchan Aruch. They quoted it in Evan Ezer, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about all the din of how a person is supposed to stay away from violations of Arayas. So he speaks about Kalisha over there, and so he speaks about covering here there also, and then he also speaks about Nechus Kriyishma. So in Nechus Kriyishma, the Shulchan Aruch has a very par veloshen about Kalisha, Mishas Kriyishma. He writes, the Yeshli Zohar, one should try to be careful not to say Kriyishma, not to say Tefillah, etc. When a woman is singing, what do you mean Yeshli Zohar? If the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that Kol B'Isha Erva, that's considered to be like Shok, it's considered to be like the hair of the married woman. So what's the Yeshli Zohar? It should be Asar. So the Beis Yosef explains that maybe one can argue this is not, the Kalisha is not subject to the dinim of Re'ias Erva because you're not seeing anything. Because maybe the din of La'ir B'Chavis Dover only applies when you're seeing Erva. Here you're hearing Erva. The role is a kolos. It's a different kind of seeing and hearing, and not exactly the same thing. So maybe it's not Asa Me'ikir Adin. It's also for the woman to be singing, but maybe the din of me saying Kriyishma in our presence, maybe it's not Mikra Din, maybe it's only Psach Chumras. So that's why Shulchan Aruch calls it a little bit more lenient than the other din of Re'iyah. But Chachila, for sure, one should try to be Machmir in this as well. So if a woman happens to be singing Shalek Halacha, so one shouldn't be saying Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. So we have this problem all the time. We're sitting at the Shabbos table, and the women are singing, and the men are singing, everyone's singing altogether. So is that considered to be a problem of this? So we know that in the sugyas of Kalisha, there were certain kulas that have been floating around Klai Yisrael for the last 100 years or so, as to what's considered to be Kalisha, what's not considered to be Kalisha. So there was some poskim, Miyuta poskim, who had certain kulas in the realm of Kalisha that maybe would minimize this problem a little bit. So there was one opinion, one lone sheet that it says that maybe Kalisha only applies if it's not Shirei Kodesh, if it applies to like secular songs, if it applies to Shirei Kodesh, then maybe a woman singing, a young Zimbachubad, So that's not going to be such a hero, so maybe that would be wouldn't be a violation of Kalisha. There's one such sheet, and there was another sheet that suggested that maybe Kalisha doesn't apply when you have a group of women singing, because Trey Koyla Mishtame, like people have in Rosh Hashanah by a week or so, that if you have two sounds at the same time, so you can't hear anything. So some Achronim wanted to argue when you have two women singing, so you can't hear a mishkababble of everything. You don't hear one discerning voice, so maybe that's not considered to be Kalisha. So these are all sheetas Yochid, these are not regular mainstream sheetas. But some of the poskim wrote in Europe, the famous Chuvah of Sridei Eish, where he writes that sometimes when Shas and Chak, when you have a Makomus of Kirov, and they felt in Shalik came to Sridei Eish, he was a Rav in Switzerland after the war. So he was originally in Berlin. Before the war, he was Rosh Hashiv in Berlin. And then after the war, he escaped and he ended up in Switzerland. So he used to get a lot of shouts from all over Europe. So there was a group, of a youth group from France that presented the shout to the Sridei Eish. Can we have girls singing because somehow that helps in Kirov? So that was the Prientius Washabatons. The first Havdalah in France in the 1960s. So they Sridei Eish writes, that's a Mokom Kirov, and so we can make a little bit more makels, a couple of voices, and then put together a few coolers. So maybe B'Shas Al-Chach, we could be a little bit more lenient than some of these Kalisha issues. So again, so with, here, I'm not asking Shaila whether I should be singing or not. I'm the man asking Shaila. I want to know, can I bench? All the women are benching on the top of the line. So the women sing a howl together to say this. I want to know, can I continue to do what I'm doing? Then there are other poskim who make all that if it's a family member, it's an immediate family member who you know their voice, you hear their voice every week, you hear their voice. So some make on that also. There are multiple such a possibility. That's a quote from Rav Scheinberg. He writes, that's the Minigo Elam. People are pretty makel about this. But a lot of girls are singing in the house, showing zmiris when the only family members around. So maybe that's not considered to be Kalisha altogether. So you have a few different stadim lakula on this. If it's just immediate members of one's family and a group singing, it's your coach, etc. So again, I'm not advocating, I'm saying this is the reality what people are doing. But short of this, one should try to be careful. If there's a woman singing, so one type should not be saying. Should not be saying divrei Torah. When we speak about all these dinim of not saying Krishma, brachas, etc., so the poskim point out, the Gemara already has this, that this only applies to derech dibur, v'yirbucha erviz dova. You're not allowed to say things. What about if you're not saying? What if you're just thinking? You're being mahar. So here of a divrei Torah in these circumstances is permissible. Dibur also hirurim mutarim. So you're allowed to be, that's not what it means there, but same thing. You're allowed to be maharer in divrei Torah. So this is always, let's say, a person's on the. You're on the train. A lot of people are not dressed appropriately. So again, either you look down, it's hard to learn from a safe with your eyes closed, you look down at something, or if you don't say the words, you just think the words, just reading, doing the daf yomi. So you don't say the daf, you don't say it with your mouth, you just learn the daf. So derech hero, so that's for sure okay. So that usually, 9 out of 10 times, that'll solve the problem. When you have to say brachas, eat an apple on the train or something, and the person sitting in front of you is not dressed appropriately, so yeah, close your eyes, keep your head down or something. You rely on those poskim to say that these things are not a problem as long as it's not creating a situation of here. Okay, so even though this wasn't Kriyashma proper, but the Shulchan Aruch put it in Hilchos Kriyashma, so we had to spend a little time talking about it. Next week we'll have a regular shiur, Pishavusha, I'm figuring out next Sunday, but hopefully time will still be the same.